Hello again, Nightmare Society. Since most of us have been pretty confined to our homes for a while, I thought it might be fun to hear some horrors happening in the home. So thank you to Casey Jacks, Throwaway 1379207, and user Peppercake Rinkiki for sharing their stories with us tonight. As always, a huge thanks goes to our producers for helping keep this podcast on the air. So let's all thank Danielle, Ginger, Mike to the D, Cat OJ, Devin, Savannah, Pixel Donut, Janelle, Michelle, and Diane for keeping the fire going over at our official Nightmare Society members campfire. If you're interested in becoming a member, you can visit patreon.com/nightmare society. The link will be in the description. We would love to have you. Thanks to Mad Dog, who reached out and let me know that episode 54 cut off on YouTube. I'll have to check the podcast app version as well, but I updated 54 on YouTube, so that one has been fixed there. I also noticed that several of my episodes are missing on YouTube, about 5 or 6, I believe, and I'll upload them as soon as they're done. These episodes all seem to be appearing in the podcast apps, so this is only for the people who listen via YouTube. Thanks for your patience, guys. I'd like to say hello to OofenKillMe69, Holes Christian, JeanPaul286, and Joe J. Thanks for listening, guys. I'd also like to say hello to Dead Pleasures Design, who is one of our essential workers keeping the world going right now. Let us not forget that there are a lot of essential workers who aren't in the headlines, yet they're working just as hard as our amazing medical workers. So thank you to everyone out there quietly working your overtime, missing your families, and risking your health to keep us all afloat. And for those of you sitting at home, itching to get things back to normal, things will get better. Until then, let's listen to some scary stuff. So get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
It was 2018, and my family and I had just moved into a new apartment. I was in college at the time, so I was at home very much. I was basically only at home during the night. One night I had come home from school really late. I had stayed at a friend's dorm for a while and had a few drinks. It was roughly 1 a.m. when I finally got home. As I entered the building and made my way to my apartment, I heard a soft giggle come from down the hallway. I looked down the hallway and saw this tall man standing there. He couldn't be much older than 40. He was panting hard and wearing a black fuzzy robe. He had one of his hands behind his back and he was smiling. I never truly understand the meaning of blood ran cold until my eyes laid on him. My blood ran completely cold and I felt adrenaline kick in as he slowly started taking steps towards me. I had no idea what to do. I didn't have my purse, which had my pepper spray in it. The only thing I had to defend myself was my keys. I asked the man,
"Sir, do you need help?"
And he just continued to walk towards me, ignoring my question. After he took a few more steps, that's when I freaked and ran. As I sprinted towards the door leading outside, I heard his loud footsteps right behind me. As I reached the door, I looked behind me to see the man running towards me full speed, with a huge butcher knife in his hand. I let out a loud scream and ran out of the building. I didn't hear him follow me outside, so after running for another few minutes, I stopped to catch my breath. After that, I called 911 and told them what happened. They did a sloppy search of looking throughout the building, but came back empty-handed. I've never really stayed out late since then. So, creepy knife man from my apartment, let's not meet again. So this happened in April of this year. I live in a major city in Texas. My apartment complex is gated and in a good neighborhood, but the security isn't extremely tight. Sometimes the gates are left open, and anyone could piggyback off of someone else entering with the access code. Maybe twice in the past 3 years, the management has put out notices of vehicle break-ins or other items being stolen from porches. We also have frequent door-to-door solicitors, even though there are signs forbidding it. Okay, so this particular Friday evening, I go to bed at about 2:30 a.m. For some odd reason, I was having trouble getting to sleep, so I put on a podcast to listen to and eventually started to doze off. I became aware of a noise that sounds like a clicking sound, but it sounds like one of my upstairs neighbors making some kind of noise. I kind of zoned this out, as I'm used to my neighbors staying up late on the weekends. After about 30 seconds, I realized the noise is extremely repetitive and getting louder. I then focus on it more intently, trying to isolate what it could be and where it was coming from. Suddenly it hits me. It's coming from the entrance to my apartment. I leapt out of bed and headed to the foyer. I identify the noise right away. The lock mechanism is moving back and forth rapidly, like someone's trying to unlock the front door. I can hear that an object is inserted into the lock, and the person is jimmying it back and forth with a lot of force. I instinctively turn around, head to my bedside safe, unlock it with the combination, pull out my .357 SIG pistol, load a 14-round magazine, and chamber a hollow point round. I head back to the door, and as I exit the bedroom, I see the lock twist and unlatch. I immediately pointed my weapon straight ahead, knowing that if someone comes through, I'll have to make a split-second reaction. I decide that if someone comes through the door, I will give them a momentary chance to retreat. But if they do anything other than that, or enter aggressively, I'm going to shoot and ask questions later. They don't enter, however, because I had also locked the deadbolt, which is only accessible from the inside. When I first moved in a year prior, I remember thinking that the deadbolt was such a great security feature, and I got in the habit of always keeping it locked when I'm home. In hindsight, this decision saved me from a life or death confrontation. Upon realizing that, I approach the door and look through the keyhole. On the other side are three people, two men and one woman. All three are wearing hoodies, so it's difficult to make out their faces. The men have objects in their hands, but I can't make out exactly what. The two men are talking back and forth, probably trying to figure out why they can't open the door, even though they have successfully opened the outside lock at this point. The woman is also talking loudly behind the two men, such that anyone in the hallway would be able to hear her voice. She's talking in another language. The only words I can make out are blah blah blah, apartment 250, blah blah blah. And she keeps repeating that over and over like it's a broken record. Upon hearing that, I start to wonder for a moment if maybe they're just drunk and have the wrong apartment number. But that's impossible. To open my lock, they would have to have a copy of my exact key, or some kind of lock-picking device. I've never copied my key or given it to anyone. Here's the other thing. Not only is 250 not my apartment number, but as I figured out later, that apartment number doesn't exist anywhere in the complex. Standing back from the door, I take a long broom handle and jab it hard into the face of the door, letting them know that I'm on the other side. They immediately stop fiddling with the lock and take off running. I debate whether or not to call 911 and decide against it, unless they return. I know they'll be long gone by the time anyone gets there. It would be too risky to follow them and try to get a better description or license plate, and I don't have enough identifying information as it is to make an arrest. I filed a police report the next day and let the apartment management know. They said it was unusual, but they would alert the resource officer and ask for a police presence for a couple of nights. Nothing ever came of the report, but that's not a surprise to me. It's been 7 months since this happened, and no further incidents. Nobody else in the apartment has reported anything similar happening. I don't think they'll be back, but one precaution I took was to buy a smart lock for the deadbolt, so I can leave that deadbolt always locked from the inside, even when I'm not home. It's crazy to think that the deadbolt was the only thing between myself and an armed confrontation with intruders. They say you don't really know what you'll do in those situations until it really happens, but I can honestly say I am proud of how I stayed calm and was mentally prepared to defend myself. If there's one good thing that came out of this, I feel confident that I responded the right way and was ready for the unthinkable. So, 3 a.m. burglars and your female accomplice, let's not meet again. And for your own sake, please find a safer way of making a living. There's nothing in my apartment worth dying for. This story has a part two, an update. So it's been over a year, and I had no intent on following up on the post about the three burglars trying to break into my apartment at 3 a.m. But there was a recent development that I felt should be shared. I no longer live in the apartment or the neighborhood where this occurred. I moved about 7 months ago. An old neighbor of mine from the same building called me out of the blue this week to give me a chilling update. A week ago, an apartment in the same building as mine was broken into around the same time of night. The neighbors heard a series of 6 gunshots and a window being smashed, afterwards likely from the perpetrators fleeing. When the police arrived, the 28-year-old girl who lived in the apartment was found unconscious. She had been shot multiple times. She died en route to the hospital. There were no signs of forced entry, implying the perpetrators either picked the lock or had a copy of her key. Also possible that she just left it open. I contacted the detective working the case. I gave him a statement about my incident, in case it helped. The investigation is ongoing, but they believe it was likely a robbery attempt, based on the circumstances. This happened close to a year after my incident, and though there are plenty of other possibilities, I find the whole thing quite chilling, and I can't get the thought out of my mind that it just might have been the same people outside my door that night. Maybe I'll never know for sure, but it's a very difficult thought to dismiss right now. The police can't share details about an ongoing investigation, but I'm following the case with the publicly available information. So this took place in July. My family rented this nice one-story house on the outskirts of a sea town. And since it was on the side of a huge hill, we got a breathtaking sight of the sea. The house was a bit isolated from the other buildings of the residential area, since it wasn't directly on the street, but surrounded by trees. The master bedroom was quite small, with the king-sized bed at the center and a big closet in front of it, the window directly on the backyard. In the backyard, where we hung our clothes to dry, we had a ridiculously low and easy-to-climb fence, which went directly into the woods. When my brothers were there, we would climb out of the window and into the woods just to feel like kids again. It was really hot, which I can't stand, so I always left every window open to let a nice draft in. I know I'm naive, but I did it only during the day in broad daylight and with other people at home. My brothers and dad couldn't be there because they had to work during weekdays, so it was just me and my mom. My grandma instead stayed in a hotel in the center of the town. It was that time of the week for me, and I didn't feel like going to the beach. So my mom, just because you're 18 and you're an adult now, agreed to leave me home alone so that she could go with my grandma. Of course, I didn't want to stay alone, so I called a close friend of mine, almost boyfriend to be honest, who happened to stay in that same town for the holidays, Ray. So he came over, brought some weed, and I was really excited to try it, since I had never smoked weed or pot or anything like that. We were staying on the balcony, enjoying our smoke and the view, chatting quietly, when I heard a soft crashing sound, as if someone fell on one of the many carpets we had there. When I mentioned it, Ray laughed it off, saying that I'm hearing things and that it's normal with drugs. But I was pretty sure of my hearing, which never fails, and it's exceedingly good, I gotta say. So he replied with,
"Maybe it's just your cat."
We both knew I couldn't bring my cat on vacation with me and that it had to stay at our hometown, but we searched for it anyway, laughing like idiots. Ray opened the kitchen cupboard, screaming,
"I'm gonna find that little shit way before you do."
I went into the master bedroom and opened the closet, giggling something like, "Here, kitty kitty, come out now, stop hiding." Then I kneeled and looked under the bed. There was a dude laying on the ground and staring at me, wide-eyed. I'm pretty sure time stopped, as well as my heart. I have no clue what kept me from screaming at the top of my lungs. But I got up, padded out of the room, and shut the door behind me. My mind was trying to process what I'd just seen. I never let go of the handle. I think my knuckles turned white at some point. Ray padded over, giggling, but he went dead serious as he looked at me. I told him there was a guy under my mom's bed. He thought I was hallucinating and tried to joke about it. But I grabbed my phone and dialed my mom's number. Later on, he told me he had understood I was serious only when he saw my hands shaking and my fingers having a hard time dialing. When my mom picked up, I sounded so cold and controlled that it gave me chills whenever I think about it. I told her I was with Ray and that we had found an intruder. My mom arrived in the span of 5 minutes, I think. And not much after her, the cops arrived, too. I think she called them because me and Ray stayed still in front of the door in silence. It was pure agony. They didn't find anyone, of course. My mom noticed a pair of panties missing from the clothes hanging out. But aside from that, there were no other signs of intrusion. The cops had a hard time believing us because of the smell of weed. Of course, Mom gave me a huge scold about that. We never heard from them about the case. I'm sure I wasn't hallucinating because he was there, and I remember every single detail of his face and how he held his breath. Me and Ray joke about it sometimes, but I'm pretty sure he's creeped out too. Needless to say, I don't keep windows open anymore if there isn't any screening. So, weird dude hiding under my mom's bed. let's not meet. Terrifying stories. I wanted to mention that I'm in a perpetual state of losing my mind. I read these stories multiple times, often before they're ever recorded, and sometimes stories get switched out and so on. So sometimes I'm reading a story and I swear I've already featured it on an episode, yet I can't find it anywhere. That happened tonight for me, so I just wanted to apologize if there's ever a story in more than one episode. It's never on purpose. It's just me. Thanks for understanding, and thanks for listening. Until next time.
Sweet dreams.